Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 127 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are still in the psychic sensitive powers section, although that section is rapidly coming to a close. It's kind of slowed to a trickle as well. We're going to have one more fairly long-winded power in this section, but we're also getting some little rapid-fire short ones at this point in the section, and those are the ones I want to talk about today. I don't know that this will be a joke-heavy episode, because this is just a little detail about the system that I observed that I kind of want to touch on as we're leaving the psionic powers section, which is that proximity equals power. It's a really cool idea. Not all of its ramifications were addressed in the rest of the game, which takes a lot of rules and a lot of material from other Palladium games that don't have that rule. As we've noted, like back when we did Heroes Unlimited in Season 2, the psionics in that game just have a big old chunk of ISP to spend, and it doesn't change based on what the situation is. They just have it to spend. Proximity equals power is really only for Beyond the Supernatural, but lots of powers have been brought in from other games, largely unmodified. But that causes what I think are some unforeseen problems with the way those powers work in BTS. So today I just want to talk about a few of those powers and show how proximity equals power really makes them more or less useful than they were in their original settings. Let's start with the first power on this page. It actually starts at the very bottom of the previous page. Sense time. It's just as underwhelming as you would expect. It has an ISP cost of 2, and it's pretty simple. Quote, the psychic is able to accurately measure the passage of time down to within 1d4 seconds. And then there's a list of situations where that might be useful, like keeping track of where a bomb's timer is, or knowing exactly when to flip a switch. It's like a stylish psychic way of timing your actions very accurately. It's like in Hudson Hawk, how at the beginning of that movie, they've got the big opening set piece where they do the heist, and they're synchronizing their actions by singing, "Would you like to swing on a star?" so that they know when they get to a certain part of the song, it's time to do this or that. And it's like a really big, fun scene. And it's a testament to how famous Bruce Willis was at that time that he got through the whole development of that movie without anyone reminding him that watches exist. It's like that. And it's equally imprecise. It's within 1d4 seconds. So that's like an 8 second span of time, you know, 1d4 in either direction. So if I were trying to like pull a lever when there's exactly 1 second left on the bomb's timer, I'd probably just like watch the clock on my cell phone rather than settling for an 8 second window. But the point that I really want to make about sense time is that it costs 2 ISP, but that's not the whole story. The duration is 15 minutes per level of experience. You don't just automatically know at all times exactly what time it is within 4 seconds. You've got to activate this power. And then for, you know, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is based on your level, during that time, you know almost exactly what time it is. During that time, you have virtually all of the utility of a $5 plastic wristwatch from Rite Aid. But that 2 ISP means something very different if you plan on using the whole duration. Like, let's say that you are fifth level, mid-level in a years-long campaign, you've definitely put your time in, and as a result, you're up to like an hour and 15 minutes that this power lasts. So if you want to go do something sort of heist-like, you know, you're teaming up with some criminal associates to steal something in a scenario where you can't have your phone or a watch, like maybe you need to start a fight in a sauna to create noise so somebody can rob somebody else's little locker, cubby, or whatever. I don't know. A situation where you got to do a naked heist. I mean, this power is not very useful unless you got to do a naked heist, so let's assume there is one. In that scenario, if you're going into it and there's like a whole timeline and you're using this power just to synchronize, just to keep yourself on track, and know exactly how much time has passed and all that, you've got no proximity multiplier. And so you're really dipping into your base ISP, which means that if supernatural stuff starts to happen, that you're quite handicapped by that. You know, as we've discussed repeatedly, it's going to bring your ISP total way down if you've already spent 2 points of your base ISP. And so you go up to a x4 multiplier because you're fighting monsters and now you're 8 ISP short. Or, you know, if a godling shard of Dionysus shows up at the sauna, and you're up to a x10 multiplier, now you're 20 ISP short. So you thought naked heisting was hard. Try naked godslaying when you're light 20 ISP. In that scenario, it's very costly. Whereas if you don't plan on using the 15 minutes per level of duration, if it's like we were going after the vampire assassin and, oh shit, she left a bomb and it's ticking away and we need to know exactly when it's going to go off so that we can do whatever, and you just activate it on the fly. That's 2 ISP, doesn't affect your multiplier. It's quite affordable. The problem is, this power is going to be most commonly useful to sort of synchronize your watches with the rest of the group, and that's something you do before you go into the dangerous situation. So disproportionately, this is going to cost you more ISP than you want it to. Conversely, compared to, also on this page, Sixth Sense, which is pretty well implemented in this game. It costs 2 ISP, and it activates reflexively whenever you're in immediate danger. That really works well with proximity equals power. First of all, even if you have to spend base ISP, it's almost always worth it to you to spend 2 ISP to know when you're about to get killed, right? You don't want to be laying bleeding out on the street with a bullet wound in your head, thinking, at least I'm prepared for any psychic contingency. Ah. You'd rather have spent those 2 ISP to have avoided getting shot regardless. Unlike knowing almost exactly what time it is, which you may think is worth 2 ISP, but then when Baphomet attacks, you're going to be like, shit, I should have got a watch. But more importantly than that, when Sixth Sense triggers because you're being attacked by something that is really a big deal, a monster, not just somebody's gonna, you know, bust a bottle on your head and start a bar fight with you, something that's like a major encounter in Beyond the Supernatural, something with the paranormal, that modifier is gonna trigger before Sixth Sense goes off, right? Because the danger needs to be in process. So if Sixth Sense is gonna go off because you're about to get jumped by a hellhound, there's already a hellhound here, which means you'll already have the modifier, which means you're not spending base ISP. So Sixth Sense is actually a much better deal in Beyond the Supernatural than it is in other games, because it provides some kind of insurance against spending down your base ISP and then having a threat show up and catch you with your psychic pants down. Also on this page, also for 2 ISP, conversely, you can get Speed Reading, which is a power that I've talked about pretty glowingly in the past in Season 2, because with Heroes Unlimited Psionics, you can combine Total Recall and Speed Reading and do a ton of reading that you retain perfectly, very quickly, and pick up an immense amount of useful information that your character then just has access to always. I forget the exact math we did, but it's feasible in a long downtime in a campaign to use a combination of Total Recall and Speed Reading to read all of English language Wikipedia, so you can just pick out anything that's on Wikipedia whenever from that point on in the campaign. In Beyond the Supernatural, this is substantially less useful because the duration is only 3 minutes per level of experience, and the speed at which you can read is only 7.5 pages per round, which is plenty fast when you're like at your leisure, back home in your den, or at the library. But it's not fast enough that you're able to like get through a 175-page book about UFO encounters while you're running for your life from a knife-wielding band of greys chasing you down a dark alley, right? Like, this remains not a super practical power to use in a tactical situation. On the one hand, you can always rest up between bursts of reading, so I guess if you kind of want to read in fits and starts, you can knock out like 90 pages per level at a rate of 30 pages per minute. So if you've got like a 300-page book, if you're level 3, you can get through 270 of it in 3 minutes, then spend another 2 ISP to mop up. So like if you've got hundreds and hundreds of pages or multiple books to read for research, you can knock that out in sprints, where you do like a few hundred pages in a handful of minutes, then, you know, go take a nap or meditate for a while, then come back and, you know, do another speed reading sprint. So that's fairly useful, assuming you've got like plenty of downtime. And then in the tactical situation, if you've got just a few pages to read or something like that, like you're trying to rush through a spell or like find a particular passage in a very thin stack of papers, then that works. But the middle case, where you need to cram for something before you jump into a situation, like, oh shit, I know this part of town. They call this Cattle Mutilation Alley. I heard about people getting jumped by gangs of greys here. Haven't had a chance to read this book on ufology yet, but let me just brush up before I unlock my car doors in this part of town. That's a punishing use of this power, because if you spend the ISP before you go into the situation where there are monsters present, once again you run into the base ISP problem. And of course, if you try to game the system by, you know, continually telling the GM like, okay, at all times during downtime I am reading English language Wikipedia, then you're going to be chronically low on ISP. When shit breaks out, the multiplier is going to fuck you over. It's just very up and down, like how the cost of these powers apply to different situations. Maybe the worst offender is telepathy. Also on this page, it costs 4 ISP, it lasts 2 minutes per level, and 4 ISP is in a really weird spot where, like, it's a great use of psychic power to create a mental link with someone before you split up, going into a dangerous situation, if the multiplier is already in place. 4 ISP is not bad at all. On the other hand, especially at low levels, like if you're only working with a base ISP of 7, you can't be spending over half of it before you go into a dangerous situation, like walking into the haunted house on creating a mental link between you and your teammate. You're going to be fucked. I mean, you're going to be at half the ISP you're supposed to have if you run into a monster in there. On the other hand, if you step into the haunted house and, like, wait for it, wait for it, and then you hear chains rattling, and it's like, okay, now, psychic link. Then that's great. That's a great use of your power. Because then you'll have the double multiplier, and it doesn't even matter how much multiplier you have. As long as you have any multiplier, you won't have to dip into base ISP, and therefore you will top back up if a monster should actually appear. The dumbest thing on this page, I guess I'd say that it's like the cost of telepathy, but it's not really that. It's the whole framework of the powers. And this is like a remix of a couple of points that I've made repeatedly, but I'm here at the end of this section. There's not going to be a better time to do it. Let me go ahead and play you the hits, and I'll just kind of bring them all together in a cheesy rock musical medley here at the end. Number one, the base ISP rules are fucking stupid. I've said it again and again, and I'll go on to say it again and again. I know myself. It's a terrible idea that ruins the excellent idea of proximity equals power. You shouldn't have to worry about like crossing the threshold into the haunted house before you activate your powers. It's mechanically unsound. It leads to weird play where characters who are supposed to be spooked and supposed to be playing it tight jump into danger and then try to protect themselves instead of the other way around in order to game the weird ISP multiplier system. It's just bad all around. Greatest hit number two. There are too many weird piddly powers and not enough cool high-end powers among the psychic powers in this game. Number three, here's one from my new album, just dropped today. The ISP costs of these powers have not been sufficiently adjusted to account for what a difference the proximity equals power rule makes. This isn't like Rifts. It isn't like Heroes Unlimited. These powers have drastically different utilities depending on whether they're activated during an investigation, during an actual conflict with the supernatural, or in downtime. Two ISP in all those three situations means drastically different things. And there's a pretty obvious solution to all these issues taken together, which is to take out some of the redundant powers and stuff padding these lists and replace them with better and worse versions of powers that are designed for different situations. So for example, with telepathy, you could have a cheapy version that has a longer duration, but it requires you to like hold hands and do a sync up trance first, and maybe it can potentially be broken by stress. Maybe you have to maintain a certain distance, or the sort of switchboard character, the center of the psychic bond, has to maintain concentration, and so their other actions are limited. You can stack all kinds of restrictions on it, but make it cheap so that it's affordable going into a situation. Then have a better version of telepathy that allows for actively mind-reading people. You can use it at a distance. It continues to work when you get further apart. And that's the version of telepathy that you use to read the monster's mind and find out what it wants, or in a desperate bid to defeat the monster by having one person run over and, you know, grab the MacGuffin on the other side of the haunted mansion. You can like make an instant link from a distance across the room, and then it stays there when they run to the other side of the mansion. It's the cool version of telepathy with all the bells and whistles, and it costs more, but that's okay because the multiplier is active. With something like speed reading, I don't know that you want to actually break it up into two powers, but you could certainly make the power description a little longer and have two tiers and say, you know, for one ISP, for the next hour, you just read very fast. You kind of go into a reading trance and read and retain a lot faster than is usual. Or, you know, grab a book, drop two ISP per 100 pages, literally flip through it with your eyes just glancing over every page, and you got it. You read it. 300 pages, six ISP, you flip through the book, done. Read the whole thing. And you could even make it so that, you know, your retention isn't great when you do it that way, so that it works better for the tactical situation. The point is, there are different modes of play in this game, and that's great, but the powers don't reflect that. And that's an overall problem. It's all different factors in this design feeding into this problem where you've got a power like Sense Time, and it's like two ISP to know roughly what time it is. Like, I can pay that if you catch me on payday. You know what I mean? Like, if I've just run into a giant warren full of vampires, and I've got all my psychic warrior ghost hunter buddies here with me, so as a psychic sensitive, I'm just flush with ISP that I got very little to do with, then sure, two ISP here, two ISP there. I'll speed read all their fucking gravestones. I'll activate my time sense so I know how long we've been in here fighting vampires. Throw up a mind block on myself just in case. But if this is a standard non-vampiric sauna heist situation, fuck that. Like, I'll smuggle in a wristwatch. I'll figure it out. Even if no vampires or ghosts show up in the sauna, which, being a player character, I'm not about to bet on, I've still got better things to do in a mortal naked heist with my limited ISP than psychically simulate a watch with a wobbly seconds hand. Anyway, for all that I've complained about them, at least these ISP expenditures are, number one, voluntary, and number two, not self-destructive. Join me next time for a much worse way to use your psychic mojo on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Megadumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.